Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello. So as always, I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Kate Sitars. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
I guess it's a double hello. Then also today, Kate and I are really, really excited to sit down with Mindy Huebner, who is a fantastic mindset coach and has so much to share with us. And really, I just want to dive right in immediately. One of the reasons that we brought you on, Mindy, was first of all, because you are one of my coaches and I know that you are a genius and I wanted to be able to share your genius with our audience. But also because mindset is so crucial to everything.
Life, living,
breathing,
surviving.
Yeah, exactly.
And yes. I will admit, at the beginning of my kind of business journey, I was the person who was like, okay, mindset. Yeah, okay, just give me the strategies so I can get to work and earn the money. And now I can absolutely tell you, having been in business, having been a copywriter for 20 years, business owner for, you know, digital business owner for 10, mindset is the first thing that you need to get straight. So, and let me know if this is not the right place to start, but why do you think it is that our mindset either blocks us or supports us in what we do, or why is it not even why you think, why does it block us or support us in what we're doing?
Sure. Well, again, thank you for having me here. I'm so excited to have this conversation today. Our brain deletes, distorts, and generalizes based on what we believe. It has to. We get, I don't know, the stats change and there's no, I don't think there's an actual measurable way to really get it accurately, but 70 to 80,000 bits of info are coming at you at one time. You can process 5 to 7. So, or do you, like, I have this usually like, the emoji, right? Like your head just explodes. So because of that, your brain filters. So you have a RAS, a reticular activating system, that is this filter. I like to think of it like an air filter in your air conditioning or something like that, you know? So you've got this filter and as it comes through, it's like, oh, delete, distort, generalize, delete, distort. Oh, we didn't even see that because it is not in your consciousness. We haven't recognized it yet. So then it's like, oh, delete, delete. I mean, it is a mechanism to protect you. And so this is why we have empowering habits, disempowering habits, because our brain is deleting, distorting, and generalizing. And beliefs, limiting beliefs, right? We cannot hustle our beliefs. I have two like hills that I die on. We cannot hustle our beliefs and rewire your brain. Like you get to, you know? So we cannot hustle our beliefs. If we believe that mindset doesn't matter, We're going to have so many mindset things going on. The strategy is great if you're actually being the copywriter who. If you're being the copywriter who believes that there's infinite resources and that everyone that's important will love your work, right? That your ideal client is going to come to you, then yes, all the strategies will be amazing and you'll be able to show up in them. However, if you're believing that resources are not infinite, that customers, clients are not infinite, that it's a pie and somebody's already taken the biggest piece, that's what you'll see. Because of your brain, deleting, distorting, and generalizing, you think a thought over and over again, it becomes a belief. And if it becomes an I am, these are some of the most powerful words in the world. So I am struggling to find clients. I am whatever the words are there. I am afraid to put my content out. It's not good enough. So it becomes this I am statement. You create habits to prove it to yourself. This is how powerful we are. And so, okay, where are my habits? Where am I noticing a habit that is disempowering, that is keeping me from showing up in the way that I want to show up? Mm-hmm.
And do you think that, or have you found that most of these habits, people are cognizant of these habits, or are most of these habits things that people just don't even realize are habits anymore?
Correct. The majority, a habit by definition is automated, not intentional. It just happens. And so no, like they don't recognize that it's happening until they either get to that bottom out point of, okay, hands up, I give. I'm either going to find someone to help me with this, or I'm going to start attending to my thoughts and see where they're taking me. And so either one of those things, we don't recognize the limiting beliefs until we recognize the limiting beliefs, because, right, like we can't see it. It can't get through the filter until something brings it into our consciousness. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we, and I did not coin this, I don't know who did, but one of the things that we talk about in our course and in our program is you don't believe everything you think. Because there's so much that's going through our mind that is not actually factual. It's opinions, or it's based on where is that coming from, and why is that so pervasive and so insidious?
Thoughts come from everywhere. We make decisions about what something means, boom, in a split second, like that. Someone cuts you off in traffic, you're like, jerk, I'm gonna keep it G, right? Yeah.
Very some other jerk. Choice words.
Right. Okay. Well, actually, that's one meaning of what just happened. And there's 100 other. I know that I have inadvertently cut someone off. And I know I'm not a jerk. And everyone listening is like, oh yeah, I have like stepped in front of someone, pulled over, all of those things, right? And yet the brain goes, oh, jerk. So as thoughts are just coming at us, I can't even get into a why necessarily. Well, why? Because your brain is like Velcro for negativity and Teflon for positivity. And it's just the way it's wired. It's a survival mechanism. It's back in the primal brain. And we just haven't evolved enough to that it's changed enough for us. So we get to evolve personally, as opposed to, right, like all of us at one time, we get to evolve personally to be able to start noticing what am I thinking right now? And I have recently had this vision of when a thought comes, you know, we take our thoughts captive, and as opposed to even taking it captive, like when you see a thought coming at you, it's like a baseball. If it's not going to serve you, just like knock it out. Like, yeah, no, boop, we're just going to keep on going. Cause the longer we allow a thought to sit, right, we form a neural pathway with it, right? Like we think it habitually. So the moment that we see a thought that doesn't serve us, we go, oh yeah, that boom, out. We can write it down. There's, you know, so many different things that we can do to start shifting that. It's recognizing that the thought is coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, how do we start to recognize? Because I feel like so many thoughts, they're so sneaky that mm-hmm. you're in it and you're not taking the time to step outside of it and be like, oh, let me be conscious of this happening. Mm-hmm. How do we start to do that?
I feel like the easiest way for me to do this is to recognize a disempowering habit that it's created, something that's automatically happening. So I'm procrastinating. I'm practicing perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I'm doing these things. And I know as a copywriter, this doesn't serve me. Like, procrastination is a reaction to stress as well. Like being afraid, I'm stressed out about this. And so if we just take a beat and work like for 5 minutes, if we just go, okay, I'm just like, most of us will work. We will like continue to then work. We'll recognize that this was just a stress response. When we notice these disempowering habits, these things that are stopping us, we can also start attending. Most of us don't go 0 to 60 either with, I mean, it does happen. Don't get me wrong. We can go into full blown panic.
In right? traffic. Like,
yeah. Okay. Yes. 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 Agreed. Right. When someone's walking slow in front of me, I like an insane person. With our thoughts, typically what happens, it may feel like it goes from 0 to 60. What we can do is, okay, now I'm here, I'm in it. I'm in full-blown overwhelm. I'm in full-blown imposter syndrome, like whatever it is. What was I doing 10 minutes ago? What was I eating? What was I drinking? What was I thinking? Like, who was around me? I get to really start being detectives. And something we didn't say at the beginning, because it's such a given in my head, but I just want everyone to know there is no shame. There is no guilt. This is about us getting curious. Like, you're amazing. You're freaking magical. You have everything that you need on the inside of you, including the resource to know, I'm going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to sign up for this course. Like, you have everything that you need inside you. And so you get to not have to, this is a choice. You get to start rewiring your brain and evolving. And so the moment we start attending, I'm like, okay, well, what sort of situations am I putting myself in that's contributing to these disempowering habits? And again, no shame, no guilt, just like curious. I wonder what makes me do that. What was I thinking? What was I feeling? When we do that with a pervasive thought, we can start to catch it sooner. And then we can interrupt the pattern. Like, that's part of it too, is okay, I'm here now. And sometimes when we're full blown in it, we need to literally move our attention to a completely different thing until we can, you know, feel more grounded again. Take a lap around your office, like go get a drink of water, right? Have a little mini dance party, something like that to pattern interrupt for you. And then you can come back. What will happen, and I see this in my own clients all the time, is you'll start to notice sooner. And so you won't get to full blown. You'll get to, you know, three quarters and then halfway. And you'll, I thought this thought. I know what happens next. I'm going to go ahead and pattern interrupt that and think a better thought. I'm going to, you know, find the proof about what's actually true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's really kind of the whole crux of the conversation, but I really want to underline this concept of rewiring your brain. Because I think a lot of people or a lot of us tend to think, well, this is just how I am. This is how I think. I will always be this way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even just when you really think about, like, as a baby, you were like that, you know, as a baby, you weren't going, I'm a failure. But this is clearly something that has developed over time for any number of reasons. But I think there is and there's, as you well know, there's scientific proof that the brain neuroplasticity means the brain can change. Mm-hmm. And so rewiring is not just, it is a true concept. It's not just
Exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit more about what that really means to rewire the brain?
Yes. You have neural pathways, you create them, they become ruts in the snow when you think a thought and practice something over and over again. And so let's just talk about creating a new habit. When we have something, a way of being, a thought process, a strategy we no longer want to show up in, and then we decide to pick a new way of being, right? These two things are equal. These neural pathways are equal up to 67 days in the brain of practicing the new way of being, of practicing the new habit. And that's if we're being consistent in it. The moment that we fall off, then the other neural pathway is, it's stronger because it's been there a long time. So 67 days, this new one is stronger for us. This is on average 67 days. So 21 days for a habit. Now, I have created a new habit in 3 days before, very intentionally to create an automatic habit, right? I was super, super focused on it. And so remember that about your brain, like that neuroplasticity, it's consistency as well to start shifting. And even if we're not talking about a habit, just changing the way that we all of a sudden start to attend instead, like, wonder what made me think that, or where did that come from? Limiting beliefs, lots of times, protections. Well, they masquerade as a protection, right? And so we get to then take it out and look at it, and us shifting perspective starts to rewire our brain. Us casting a vote, Nikki's smiling, she's heard me say this a million times, right? Like, we're casting a vote for this version of yourself. You're amazing, you're enough, you're worthy, and you get to evolve into next level you. And so what does that version of you look like? And how do we get to cast those little votes continually? And every time, rewire, rewire, rewire.
It's fascinating. One of the things that we talk about in our course, which I think it's important to talk about here, but also for the listeners who are not yet members of or not yet students of the Comprehensive Copywriting Academy, is the statement from Mel Robbins. She's a speaker, and I think she calls herself a motivational speaker, but that motivation is, we're a G-rated podcast, so I'll have to say motivation is
like a bad word coming, right? Yeah.
Motivation is BS.
Yeah, exactly.
Garbage. Yes, trash. And I think that as I'm thinking about the desire to change habits and change the way we are, at first we start out in that place where, like, yeah, I really, really want to change this. And you're willing to take the action to try to overcome that old pattern. But as the days go on and the motivation wanes, as it naturally does, because that's what motivation does, it's not supposed to be there the whole time. How do we stay focused on the good habit that we're trying, or the good thinking pattern or whatever that we're trying to create, instead of just slipping back into the ease of the old one?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you said ease. You get to really start tapping into what actually is easy for me. So often I'll talk to clients about what they want right now and what they want long-term, and those smack into each other. That's that self-sabotage. That's that I want it to be easy, so I'm just going to not do the thing. And then I'm going to be disappointed and feel guilty and all of that. I feel like in order to answer this, I want to step back too. So when we decide, I want to have this new thought pattern, I want to do this. For me, it is vitally important to be all in. because motivation is going to wane. What is the picture that you have painted, and not just visually, like, okay, you have this new thought pattern. What will having that do for you? This is where we get to go seven whys deep. And this is where I love the question why. I want to write a page a day, right? Like I want to write a page a day. Okay, well, why? Well, that's going to, okay, well, what will having that do for you? Okay, well, why? And go seven whys deep. Get to the crux, get to the core, so that you can then see the core and now paint the picture for yourself. So when I'm writing a page a day and I am feeling and seeing and tasting and hearing and experiencing, so we're all in, we're diving into a swimming pool of this thing that we want. This is how we set ourselves up for success. We set goals and forget them a lot, right? All of us, due to a big part, we haven't invested in what gets to happen when we do this. And if we invest in it, like really know what we want with every fiber of our being, it then becomes more compelling for us. We see the vision, we cast the votes for the vision, knowing what we want and then taking the action. And after we take action, mental, spiritual, physical, emotional action, we can take all those things, because rewiring the brain is also mental work, right? Like shifting a thought pattern, maybe journaling, maybe meditation. We get to then look at the data. Okay, I said I wanted this. This is how I'm showing up. It's just data. There's no failure here. There's looking at the data and saying, oh, okay, well, it's only converting at this, right? Here's my conversion rate. Here's how many clicks on the landing page, right? What now I get to say, what am I willing to change? Do I really want this result? Because I've bought totally into it. It. For me, it's about buying totally into who you get to be and all the things that open up to you. Now, I said the seven whys. This is where I love the question why. I don't always love why after those seven whys. Why? When we say, well, why did I do that? The first thing we say is because, and we tell a story about it. Not saying the story isn't feels like your truth, but we tell a story and we just go right into that neural pathway of this is the way that I am and I can't change it, right? Like, this is very interesting. Why can be super powerful until it's time to lay down why and start asking what, when did I decide this? How could I show up differently in this? Who could I aspire to? Who could I ask to help? And we can ask all these other questions instead, and they're much more powerful. Quality of our life is truly determined by the quality of the questions that we ask ourselves and others, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So much good stuff. I know. It's like, okay, and then what? And then what? And then we I just really could sit and talk with you all day.
I have a question. I'm going to use, and we touched on like scarcity mindset, and you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, you know, like there aren't enough clients in the world, you know, and so how am I ever going to get a client? There's the slice of pie, and you know, 90% of the pie is already taken. How do I get my 10% or whatever?
Yeah.
But how do we, with that, using that as an example, I feel like our feelings about it can be so much stronger than the facts in our brains. Like mm-hmm. we can tell people, here's how many businesses open, you know, every month. And here's even if 1% of them, it's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses that could use a copywriter. There's so much opportunity. But even with those numbers, I feel like sometimes our brains are still like the emotions overriding those mm-hmm. facts. Mm-hmm. How do we start to move through that?
Yeah, well, let's talk about scarcity for a moment. Is scarcity mindset fear? It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of the worst case scenario. It's focused completely on what you don't have all the time, right? This is that there's a fixed amount, like we talked about, right? When you're feeling the emotions of that, one, it's a habit. Like it automatically comes in. So whatever it was that you saw or heard or read, right? Like this habit gets triggered in. So a way to recognize, first we get to recognize the emotions that are happening. I do not, and I'm underlining, do not subscribe to pushing down emotions, pretending like they're not happening. I just have this vision of then a pressure cooker, right? Like then you explode. And so that's the, no, like you don't have to do it that way. You get to choose something more healthy for yourself. So you recognize the emotion. Most emotions, 90 seconds. We can ride the wave. The reason that they stay longer is because we invite them to stay longer. Let's sit down a little deeper in this mud puddle. Let's really like, yeah, and let it bring up this emotion, and now we're compounded in the emotion. So one, we can ride the emotion, saying to ourselves, I'm going to ride the emotion, 90 seconds, 90 seconds, I'm going to ride the emotion. Like we're already shifting we're doing a little pattern interruption there by riding out the emotion. Then if this is triggered by there's not enough clients, say, you know, the scarcity feeling, when have you felt like there's enough? Let's just, instead of like there's enough clients, when have you felt, was there a time in your life when you can remember the feeling of enough and how that feels? Now we're looking for proof, because right now the belief is there's not enough. And so the brain is deleting, distorting, and generalizing. And yet we have so much proof in our lives that there's enough, right? And so we just get to find those little tiny pieces of proof. We can start keeping track of them. This is how we cast votes for our future self, is keeping track of the proof, going back to the proof, reminding ourselves. And when we go to this new emotion, and so this is with anything, right? You're also powerful enough to call in at any time the emotion that you desire to come in as well. So I said, I was gonna talk about this tool that I like to give my clients, this habit. Goes, this emotion comes in. Okay, this is a habit as well. It's not you, like you are not scarcity, right? So it's a habit that comes in. What do we get to do? We get to recognize it. We're not going to pretend like it's not happening. We're not going to get into a brain battle because we're going to lose. Willpower is a finite resource, pretending like we're not feeling this emotion. So we'll lose to our primal brain every time. So instead of feel this way, don't feel this way, feel this way, don't feel this way. First of all, your brain doesn't hear don't. It doesn't hear don't. So if you've ever experienced with a small child, don't spill the milk. Don't do that. Goes everywhere. The brain doesn't hear don't. So as you're telling yourself, feel this way, don't feel this way, feel this way, don't feel this way. All it's hearing is feel this way. So get out of that. Just recognize that it's here. I feel you. I see you. And for me, you're a thing of the past. I move my attention, I move my focus to. So there's a couple of things I call out the pink elephant habit mantra. And the reason I say that is because if I said to you, don't think of a pink elephant, whatever you do, Kate. Exactly. So that's how don't works. Don't spill the milk. There goes the milk, right? So it's the pink elephant habit mantra. And we get to move our attention, our focus too. So some tools for, okay, I know the scarcity emotion is going to come up. How do I want to feel instead? I'm going to be proactive. When it happens, what do I want to move my focus and my attention to? Have that like written down, ready to go. I want to move my attention to that time when, you know, there was an abundance of, or that time when I felt safe and secure, because scarcity is also, that's that fear of the unknown, right? And we don't feel safe. And so when was a time when I did feel that? Because then I can call in that emotion instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we, you know, we talk sometimes in our community about viewing the world through a keyhole, or, you know, from through your perspective, and when you're just looking through there, all you see is that narrow vision. And I love that and you're pressed up against that keyhole. You know, yeah. It's not like you can step back and be like, oh, look, there's a door here. You see a keyhole and you think that that's all that there is. And I love this idea of reflecting on other experiences. So getting yourself to step back, reflecting on other experiences, and then, you know, to continue with that metaphor, to recognize that there's a door there and that all you're seeing is just from this little perspective. And when you step back, you can see more of the world around you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. It's so powerful to be able to, when you're operating this way too, like in recognition, in getting curious, that everything is firing, like, woo, we are made to be curious. We get to be curious about things, you know? And sometimes that's really like tamped out of us as small children. Like, I just saw this most amazing quote for copywriters. If you were told as a child and taught as a child to be quiet and mind your own business, like, you're struggling, because you're all about not being quiet and not minding your own business, right? So you get to tap into, again, those limiting beliefs that by mostly well-meaning people, right? Like, everyone's doing the best they can with the tools they have. The world gives us limiting beliefs. Our families give us limiting beliefs. People speak things over. One of the most powerful stories I've heard about a limiting belief that was not in someone's consciousness until someone else kept speaking it over them was about a young lady who was quiet and reflective, and yet they called her shy all the time. You're shy, you're shy, you're shy. Oh, she's just shy, she's just shy. Well, okay, so what did she embody then? Shy. Like, I've been told I'm shy my whole life. She grew up, she's like, yeah, actually, I'm not shy. I'm quiet and reflective. Like, there's a big difference in that. Mm-hmm. But those come to us, right? And then we just take those beliefs on. Mm-hmm. When you come up against a belief too, like that, a limiting belief that you're now recognizing that you'd really like to shift away from, you get to ask yourself, like, one, what is this belief protecting me from? Protection, right? And then you'll get to, well, it's not protecting me. It's keeping me from creating clients, putting my work out there, asking for the sale, all of those things. It's keeping me from that. And who would I get to be without this belief? What would open up for me? What are the possibilities? See, here's what we really want. In rewiring my brain, this is my like secret little world domination. You go from fighting for your limitations to stepping into and embracing your limitlessness. Because the moment that we start to see the possibilities, like literally anything is possible for us. We don't get stuck in the limit. We can do anything. Mm-hmm. We can go anywhere. We can be anyone. We get to decide.
I love that. I think it's really important too to talk about that concept of fighting for our limitations, because it's something that so many of us do on a regular basis without even, I can't do that. I can't. I can't do this because I can't do this. And that's exactly what you're doing, is you're being an advocate for your limitations. Your limitations don't need an advocate. They can do just fine on their own. You don't need to stand up for them.
I love that. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. What I like to do when we have a hard time shifting perspective, because we're so in it, right? We're the keyhole, right? We're at the keyhole. Then I will say, okay, what would your best friend, your spouse, child, okay, if this was reversed and they were fighting for their limitations and they were self-sabotaging and they were talking about themselves in such a hurtful way, what would you do? You would mama bear up. You would then become their champion. You deserve that same space, grace, love. So how do you get to extend that to yourself too? How do you get to be your own best friend? Yeah. How do you get to be your own crazy champion? Like, nothing is going to stop me from letting this person know how amazing she is, how this is, she gets to, you know, move through this kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and even just in terms of the scarcity concept, the idea of like, yes, if a friend came to like, there's no way I'll ever find any clients. There just aren't enough clients. If you'd be able to say to your friend, oh my gosh, no, there are millions and millions and millions of companies, that doesn't get to be true for them, but not true for you. You know, you don't live in a separate universe where there's plenty of abundance for your friend, for your loved one, but there isn't plenty of abundance for you. Those two things can't coexist. So either you're right in the support that you give to your friend, or you are right in this weird voice that comes in and goes, no, you're going to fail. There are only 5 clients in the entire world. You know, which one sounds right and which one feels right?
Yeah, exactly. I love that you brought that up because my brain was going there when I was saying it. So I specifically remember a very long-term client who I adored, and she would continually give 2 different meanings. So like you just said, So yes, she could extend it to everyone else and allow those people to make mistakes and not make it mean that they were horrible, bad people, or that they, you know, weren't worthy or any of that. And yet when it was turned on herself, they had 2 different meanings all the time. Like, well, when I do this, then that means I'm terrible. When they do that, it's just a mistake. Like they're learning, but and so she would like grow and grow and grow through it. And then another limiting belief would pop up and we'd see where she's given it 2 different meanings again. And then we would go through this process that I have about, okay, let's give this, what other meanings can we give this? And how do we now have a more empowering belief from this as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that seems like that would be so common, so common. I mean, at least from my own personal perspective, to be like, yes, this is true for everyone. Oh, but this is not true for me. And I think it's really worth all of us exploring where and when and how that comes up in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. When did I decide this? What made me decide that? I love that you didn't say why. Did you notice, Kate, she didn't say why? Because why is like, well, because this is where I am. Now, our limiting beliefs also come from our lived experiences and what we have perceived as an experience, right? There is zero discounting someone else's experience as well. And no, but notice I didn't say but, like but ends it. And it really says what I said before, that's not true, right? So, and yes, I am honoring your experience and what makes you think that, how could you show up differently than that? Those types of questions for that as well. Because having someone not honor your experience is very difficult, you know? And we can hold space for someone without agreeing that, you know, there's only so many pieces of the pie. They can say, I understand that that is difficult for you to feel that way, right? I completely see why you're feeling this way, because they're telling you why they feel that way, right? And now, how would it feel to, would you like to get curious about, can I help you in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, isn't it? Just there's so much to learn about ourselves and so much to dig into, you know, and just not to go off on a whole big tangent, but she's going to say it anyway. You know, there's so much that we, so many of our beliefs and so many of our actions like come from experiences when we were like tiny children we've been anything that has been at all related to that just kind of pours on top of that. It makes it bigger and stronger so that by the time we're adults, we believe X, Y, Z about ourselves that can go back to when we were just small children. And you can't even, it can be hard to even go back and pinpoint in the conscious mind to go back and pinpoint what that experience was. And so I think to your point, just being curious and going, okay, well, you know, what's going on here? I'm sure we've all had the experience where you're in the middle of the day and all of a sudden you're mad or you're sad or you're just feeling, you know, something. And all of a sudden you're going, well, now, wait a second here. I'm having a perfectly fine day. So where is this coming from? What is bringing this up? What is my brain trying to get me to do or to not do? I think there's so much mystery in our adorable little heads and so much opportunity to learn more about ourselves and to grow. And the only thing that it's going to do is just continue to make us better people and better in our relationships with the other people in our lives. Yeah.
So much so. When we start to, and I want to say two things. One, our emotions are our triggers. We get to say, what is this anger trying to tell me? What is this feeling of overwhelm trying to tell me, right? Because then we get to really be detectives, right? We get to step back from it and just go, okay, like, because anger in itself, not bad. That's not a bad thing, right? So what is this trying to tell me? When I have these big emotions, when I fall into this, what's happening here? So we get to be super curious in that way as well. Like, you know, what is all this telling me? Like, and how do I get to start shifting in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So
fascinating. I tell everyone to be gentle with themselves when they do this too, because I feel like so many of us beat ourselves up that this is, we've had decades, all of us, to like decades of this wiring that now to be curious and explore it is going to take work. So being,
practice, yeah. Right? Like, and again, I say this to my clients all the time too. You have been operating in this way for so long. More likely than not, it's not going to switch off like that. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to start to practice showing up in a different way and the habit will come up. And that's where the pink elephant habit mantra comes in. We go, oh, I see you. Fear, scarcity, overwhelm. Like, we broke up, babe. I'm moving my attention to this other place. I would love to teach your audience how to call in a state that they would like to feel and know that this is like they can pull this out of their pocket anytime. It really depends on how you want to feel. My favorite, this is the easiest emotion for me to pull in and this state, and I will probably cry. It's love, and it's overwhelming. It's like in my chest already. I already know. You get to think of a time. So what is the emotion that you want to feel? For me, I'm like, okay, I want to call in love. Immediately, my mind goes to the moment I held my first godson. And he's 10 now. Oh, I'm getting old. And he, like, everything in me is just like, I am gushing love right now. Like, I can't even stop it if I wanted to. What you get to do is think of that memory that you want to pull in, the emotion associated with it. See what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt, and just let it wash.
Make me cry now.
Like, over you. I'm doing it. Just let it wash over you. This, again, this is how powerful you are. You could call this emotion in at any time. So if you are having a hard day, not being very kind to yourself, right? We're the hardest on ourselves, myself included. We get to go, oh, okay. Let's just switch the state here. Let's switch what's going on in here and call in a different state. You can call in confidence. You can call in, you know, I also can easily call in crossing the finish line of my very first half marathon. Like, oh yeah, right? Like that feeling of like, and I could keep going. Like, so it really, like you get to decide. Love is the easiest for me because I'm in love with this kid. And I can't help it. And I have two daughters of my own. I can easily go back to their birth as well. And I love them with all of my heart. There's something about the just strong way that moment, I always call it our first date when I held him. And he has a little brother and I adore him too. But this, there was something about this that changed my DNA. Like, it changed me forever. And so I love calling back into that. So you get to do that too. Like you're that powerful, like be that magical and treat yourself that well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, I feel like we all have some writing to do, calling some memories, write them down. So they're handy when your mind's going blank and you're like, wait, I have no memories. No. I need to write some things down.
Right. And again, the brain is like Teflon for positivity. Yeah. So we get to like card. I have this vision of like an old school, like card file, you know, at the library, like, oh, are we, or Rolodex? Like I get to file that under L for love. Boom. Okay. I'm going to pull that out. Like whatever strategy works best for you. If it's a picture, we call these anchors too. If it's a picture to trigger you, if it's a sticky note that has, you know, whatever a saying on it or a word on it, whatever it is, set yourself up for success. Like do all the things. I have, if you saw my desk, I have like totems and crystals and, you know, oil and a candle. And like, I have cards that are, you know, limitless possibility card. Like I have got all the things. This is my space. I want it to set me up for success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it so much. I really don't want this conversation to end. I would sit and chat with you for probably 8 more hours. And then maybe
let's come back. I can always come back.
Exactly. I have a very strong feeling we're going to get very positive feedback on this episode. People are going to be begging for you to come back. So just put that out there.
If okay. Awesome.
Like it, let us know, guys. Too. Yeah,
exactly. We just called it in. Exactly. We called that let in. Us know. Yes. So, you know, I've set the intention before I go on a podcast of being the most downloaded episode.
Ooh, let's see. I really would not at all be surprised. I have a feeling there's going to be lots of chat about this one. Lots. But now if people are listening and they're like, this was great, I can't wait until the next time she's on, where can people go and find you right now?
Yes. So MindyHeitner.com. Like I'm Mindy Heitner everywhere. You can go to my website. I have recently started TikTok. Please come and give me love on TikTok.
We need to do that too. That's on our.
We're following you there.
Yes.
Awesome.
We might be there by the time this airs.
I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. I really am on all the socials. Facebook is my least favorite place, but I will connect with you there if you connect with me there as well. I don't hang out there as often, but I'm on TikTok and Instagram and LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn as well. Mm-hmm. So you can find me everywhere at Mindy Heitner.
Awesome. And we will put the links in our show notes to make it super Perfect. Easy for people to just click through and follow you in all the places as well. They should, because not only are you a fabulous and insightful person, but you share all kinds of important, interesting things on all of your channels. So they should be following you everywhere. They should become Mindy devotees.
Well, they get to. I'm yes. going to invite them.
I'm going to command them. No. Okay. Gentle commanding, gentle with love. But this has been just so, so fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. I know I'm 100% sure our audience loved this and can't wait to hear more from you. So thank you. And we look forward to seeing you again. And with that, we will catch all of you in the next episode. Bye everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.